You're listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey. Built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. And before the break, we were talking about water conservation and how to get the water where you really want it in your garden beds. And you use a drip system. But you also cautioned about where that water needs to go.
Water management. After you have put the water where you need it, it doesn't hang around there. Not all of it. It's got to have a place to go after it's done, after the plants are done with it. So how important is it to find a place for the water to go after you've watered it? And how does that play into where you where you build your boxes? Because on my property, for example, on the left side of my house, I've got a 4-foot foundation wall. And on the right side of my house, I've got a 12-inch foundation wall. So I'm on a slope from the left side of my house to the right side of my house. Where is the best place to place your garden beds? And how do you manage that water after you've given it to the plants?
Well, probably one of the most important things, especially with a slope, building it level. You can go around town, see where people have not leveled these things. So where's the water going to go? It's going to go downhill. It's not going to be climbing no ladder up the other way.
Right.
You know, and so some plants are going to get uneven amounts of water. You're going to have uneven growth, uneven yield, low yield on the upper end, less, even lower yield on the bottom end because it's getting too much water.
Mm.
Really, by the time water goes through a planter box, there's not a lot that's going to come out. Now, if you don't cover them in the winter, of course, water is going to pour out of there. So you just want to make sure they're in an area where you, when there is a lot of water coming through that, that you don't want it to end up, let's say, close within the back door so that when you forget to take your shoes off, your wife looks at your pathway through the kitchen and you're in trouble.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And believe me, it happens to me. And I'm a guy who tries to plan not to do that.
Yeah.
But more importantly is not letting the water stay in the root area of the plant you're growing. Provide a way out because you really do that. You want it to sit in there for a while. And if you've got a balanced soil with a aerated soil, like with the core, it's going to stay. You're going to have enough staying around. So if you go on vacation for 2 or 3 days or away for a week and it gets real hot, you still have some moisture content in the soil. You don't lose your plants. But not letting it build up and stay. And so the 8 to 12 inches of soil you need for most vegetables that can be grown in the Northwest, underneath that needs to be some material. And you can use, experimented with a complete 2-inch layer of core. Works great. Water moves through it.
Mm.
It doesn't plug up. I've used perlite, a commercial-based product that is okay. I've used pumice, volcanic pumice.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the key things is to have a base that gives you some aeration space where the water comes through and excess water has a pathway out so it doesn't build up because it will rot your plants. And anybody who has a potted plant that's not doing well and you pull it out and you realize this is full of water, it doesn't have a way for it out,
right,
for the water to come out. The roots rot.
What about gravel? Can you just use 3/4 minus down there?
You could, but before you do that, remember a lot of vehicles, a lot of equipment went into the production of that gravel. So there's going to be petroleum products. And the best way to do that is to build a screed type thing, maybe some 1x4. You put it over a couple cinder blocks and you put your gravel on that and you rinse it.
Oh, okay.
So that would be, and I do use gravel in the bottom, the very bottom of mine. And then I do perlite and some of my core to give it several layers.
How about pea gravel or like river rock?
Well, nah, river rock too big. It's so round. You're going to get pockets in there. And when soil does make it down there, you don't want too much soil to go through that.
Oh, yeah.
It'll just fly right through that. Pea gravel, it'll plug up. I would stay away. Pea gravel is really good on top surface, you know, for walkways to mix in with 3/4. I do that in some of my entryways to my garden. But really, your best thing is a 3/4 minus, a rigid product that kind of fits together but allows passage of other stuff. But it's several ingredients. I think if you use 2-3 ingredients in there, you cannot go wrong. You'll find a way for that water to move through that's excess.
Right. So yeah. Water management is definitely important. If the water's hanging around there, the point of that whole comment is that if the water hangs around there, it can rot your roots.
Absolutely.
So it's got to have an opportunity to get the water that it wants, and then that water needs to get out of there and just keep the water moving through as opposed to stagnant water hanging around.
Absolutely.
So we talked a little bit about placement of your garden boxes And there are vegetables and plants that prefer sunlight, more sunlight than less, like sunflowers, for example, want 24, well, not 24 hours sun, but they want 12 hours of sun.
As much as you can get.
As much as you can give them. So if you are looking at the tag on a plant, if you're buying a plant, a pre-planted plant from a store, or if you're looking at the back of a packet of seeds, pay close attention to the amount of sunlight that it wants to get and the amount of shade that it wants to get. What are some examples of plants that want, you mentioned lettuce, for example, is a example of a vegetable that wants shade, not afternoon sunlight.
Correct. If you can think of it this way, a delicate plant. Delicate plants are going to be ones typically on the seed pack you'll see. It'll say sun to partial shade. When you see partial shade, that means this is a plant that's not going to handle the late afternoon sun late. And I'm talking 2:30 to 5:30. Everything is heated up. And it just, that temperature mounts on top of temperature. And I've had plants out in the sun that they're not supposed to be there, even watered same day, that really get tagged. So I place the planter blocks that I've identified for my salad type products that I'll grow year round, except for, of course, December, January, and part of February. I have them so that they get afternoon sun starting at 2 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock. It changes as everything moves,
of course. Right,
but
of course.
If you live by that, anything that says partial shade, you provide that afternoon shade, you're pretty good. Now, broccoli, on the other hand, I grow out in the middle, and it can't handle early heat. Thereby, you start a broccoli plant early to develop those little roots I was talking about. But I shade them with shingles, cedar shingles. You can get a bundle of shingles at Par Lumber. And that I have a bundle that's 4 years old. I just keep reusing them, pull them out of the ground, clean them, and store them in a dry place. Go back, and I shade it the afternoon sun. They have time. It keeps the heat off the soil. It keeps it cooler without having to add so much water that you're harming the plant.
Sure.
And it can develop their roots. Anything that needs a strong root system at the beginning of its growth, you should shade to afternoon sun.
Great tip for adding shade. I never would have thought about that. What a great idea.
You drive by my garden in, April, May, and the early part of June, and you also see I'm trying to grow shingles.
Yeah.
It doesn't work too good.
No, it's too bad because they're expensive.
Good.
You could make a lot of money
that spendy.
Way.
You got to figure out how to grow money.
You mentioned earlier you have a cold frame. You mentioned a cold frame.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about a cold frame. First of all, describe to me your cold frame.
It's in one word, it's half of a greenhouse. It's not in other words, it's not a full cycle system. You're not taking a plant from beginning to the very end. What you're doing is you get a jump start on the weather. In my neck of the woods, up there in the hills, in them there are hills.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to get a good jump, okay? So I start a lot of things in my cold frame. One of the great features of a cold frame would be some sort of heat, what is called a heat sink, on the back end where that sun is going to hit, coming through whatever material you choose, whether it's a fiberglass, a polycarbonate, a glass. I've been in the building industries for over 30 years. I have saved just about everything off every job I can imagine. I have yet really to put money out of my pocket to build any of these planter boxes, to build any of my cold frame. There's a few things I need. I haven't saved concrete or mortar. I got to buy that. But otherwise, I save a lot of stuff. There's a lot of people that do that, and more power to them. We need to do that.
They're called hoarders.
Okay. At any rate, I hoard. Okay, I can admit it. I hoard building products. But, that back wall, heating up that back wall, keeping heat for overnight, helps you with the colder temperatures associated with fall or early spring. And so that's number one thing. I need something back there.
Mm-hmm.
You can even paint a garbage can, like a metal can or gallon jugs and stuff. You can paint them black, put water in them. That'll soak in that heat. Everybody knows in the summer you wear something dark, you're going to be hotter than wearing something white. So that's the key. The other thing is keeping water out of it. Letting light in, yeah. But early on, plants don't need the kind of light they really do. The first month that you're starting seeds, they need some light, but they don't need direct, huge, heavy amounts of light.
It's about the heat.
Yeah.
And so you cover the top of that with a clear poly, maybe?
You could do that. You could hoop. You've seen a lot of hoop designs. You could type in hoop house on the internet, and you would not believe the amount of pictures that will be generated by that. You can get so many different ideas. And believe me, I don't know it all. I use the internet like crazy. Yeah, I get new ideas every year.
It can be real simple. As simple as half-inch PVC that you hoop from one side to the other, cover the top of that with a clear poly plastic, staple that down into the sides, and boom, you've got a hoop house.
You're good to go.
It's retaining heat and allowing the sunlight and giving you an opportunity to let those heat germinate and keep the outdoors. Great. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up our vegetable garden growing planter box building springtime show.
Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. You listen to Tony and Corey. Thanks for staying tuned during that break. I love some ZZ Top.
Yeah, that's a good intro. I like it.
All right, Steve. Thank you for all of the
infinite wisdom.
Unbelievable amount of information that you have stored in your head.
I've got more, but apparently my wife told me, keep it simple.
Yeah. Yeah, she called you during the break and said, you better bring yourself home.
Hey, brother, I got planting to do. Hey, you know, another, before I go, guys, thanks for letting me. My family's tired of me always trying to tell them all this stuff. I really don't have a lot of people to talk to when I'm out there in the field and stuff. But secondly, now's the time, anybody out there in the whole Pacific Northwest region, check with your local county chapters. You probably have some master gardener type chapters out there. I know Clackamas County, the county we're in, does.
Yeah.
Oregon State Extension Service. There has to be one associated with Washington State University type thing. And now is the time for garden type fairs. And they hold classes. I know there's one coming up May 4th and 5th down in Canby at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds.
Yep.
You can actually take your soil there and have pH testing done. All of them do that. And, you know, attend free classes. All kinds of things. A great resource for everybody.
Yeah, right? From northern Washington to southern Oregon, there's always these local chapters, county chapters, that you can contact about just to brush up on your gardening, get some inspiration and some motivation, have them test your soil for you, and they will get you started. And that's really what we want to convey here, is that it's growing your own garden can be a lot of fun. It doesn't have to be a chore, and it can be extremely rewarding.
It literally starts from the ground up, doesn't it?
It sure does.
No pun intended.
We sure appreciate having you on the show.
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Drive safe.
Have a great weekend.
You guys too. Bye.
All right. Let's wrap up by, I would say, focusing a little bit on the construction of the garden beds and, you know, maybe the cost, what they cost, and you know, what somebody's really into if they decide they want to build one. Also, the feng shui of your garden bed. You know, do you want a garden bed that is 6 foot by 6 foot? Here's the problem with that.
You can't reach to the middle.
Yeah, whatever side you're
unless on. Unless you have gorilla arms like Tony.
Whatever side you're on, it makes it difficult to get a hold. So a long, narrow bed makes more sense. Something maybe that's 3 by 10 or 3 by 12. I know a very common size of garden bed is 4 by 8. I prefer something more like 3 by 10. You can get the same square footage, but having an elongated bed, not as deep, allows you to reach to the backside, and you don't have to be on the other side. You can push it up against a fence if it's narrow, access it from the ends and from one side, and you can reach everything without hurting yourself. In addition to that, a too high bed, like if you were using 2 by 10, like we sell at Par Lumber, that would give you a 20-inch tall raised garden bed. So you don't have to bend over as far. You can go a 3 high and have a 30-inch tall raised garden bed. And you don't have to, like Steve was saying earlier, you don't have to fill that whole thing with soil. You can put a deck in the bottom of it, right? Have an air space underneath and drainage for your water to get out and only have half as much soil. However it is that you choose to do it, a taller bed and a shallower bed is a good way to go.
Yeah, one thing I want to throw out there really quickly. If you have raised garden beds that you're proud of, we want to see them.
Yeah.
Go to our Facebook page right now and do the very minimum. Just like the page, because we like you.
And we want you,
you to like us.
That's right. We're so needy. You know, this is just the way we are.
So
we,
go to facebook.com/WWHomeshow. Or if that's hard, it's sometimes we're hard to find. So if you go to par.com and click on the Weekend Warriors logo, you can see Tony and I's beautiful faces there.
We have faces for radio.
Or at least Tony's beautiful face. And click on the our Pinterest and our Facebook logos at the bottom, and you can just click on that, take you right to the page, and submit your pictures.
Yeah.
Last week we were talking about...
Tree forts.
So we had some people send in some tree forts, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
So submit your pictures. We'll post them on our Facebook page and share them on the air.
Submit your stories, and we will cover your story on the show as well.
Absolutely.
We love to share with other listeners what some listeners have experienced, what they've learned, what they like about, you know, certain situations.
Yeah, what works, what doesn't. If you've got certain gardens specifics that you've done or you've tried, share them. We will be happy to share those on the air with all of our listeners.
Yeah, everybody wants to know what's working for somebody else, which is exactly what Pinterest is all about.
Yeah.
Pinterest is someone who gets on there, finds something that they like or worked well for them. Oftentimes it's something that's not already available in the marketplace, something that someone has altered or changed in order to fit their situation. Guess what? They're not the only ones with that situation.
Yeah, Pinterest is pretty neat. I've been getting sucked into that. My wife started on it a long time ago, and we have one for the show now. So there's all kinds of cool stuff on there that we pin.
You will always find stuff on there that you did not know existed or was a possibility. You'll find great ideas, and oftentimes it's something that you can replicate or duplicate for yourself and make your life easier.
Totally. And real quick, I know you want to get back to garden beds, but I want to throw out my energy conservation tip of the week.
Oh, yes. Energy conservation tip of the week. Let's hear it.
So last week I talked about buying LED bulbs.
That's right.
I think they're fantastic. Costco, if you got a Costco near you, sells 3 packs for $20, which seems expensive, but when you look at the benefits of it, I think it's great.
Yeah, they last like 22 years.
Yeah, about 22 years is what the package
90,
claims.
Listen to this. Per bulb, 90 cents a year is what you'll pay in energy cost to operate it.
On average.
On average. If you're running that light for 3 hours a day or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So
I mean, that is amazingly inexpensive.
So this week, my tip, sorry.
So I just wanted to say one more thing. Plus, it's safer. I mentioned this to Corey earlier. I have light fixtures in my home. And inside the light fixture, if you take the glass cover off and look inside, there's generally a warning label. And the warning label will say, this light fixture was manufactured to use 60-watt light bulbs. Well, guess what? 60-watt light bulbs are rarely give off enough light in your family room or living room to light your space. So I have, in the past, put a 100-watt light bulb.
And almost burned down his house.
And you know what? I take that 100-watt light bulb out after it burns out, and I find that the foil, the safety foil backing on that light in there has burned. And I didn't catch fire, but it burned because that 100-watt light bulb was too hot for that fixture. These LED bulbs don't get hot. They last forever. They're so much less expensive to run, and they're safe.
Yeah.
So gone are the days of burning your fingers when you're taking your... So what else you got?
So we're camping on last week's LED thing, and this week, my energy conservation tip is to install dimmer switches.
Yes.
And one of the benefits of LED bulbs is that they are dimmable, and you can install a dimmer switch just about anywhere in your house and dim the lights. That saves so much energy, it's actually ridiculous.
You can have brighter light when you need brighter light, but you can also just have mood lighting.
If you're trying to set the mood.
When you need just mood lighting.
Let's say for dinner.
Yeah, exactly. For example.
For dinner.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, just that's my tip of the week.
That's a very good one. I think we're just about ready to wrap up here.
We ran out of time quick. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Keep in mind, this is the time of year where you're planning your raised garden beds. You're building them and planning them. It's inexpensive. Let's say $1.75 to $2 a foot for this 2x10 cedar material, for example. You can build a raised garden bed pretty inexpensively. You can grow your vegetables so inexpensively. You don't have to drive to the market to buy. You're not spending money on gas. You're not wondering how your vegetable was grown or or what's gone into it when it was grown. And you can get these materials at Par Lumber. Very inexpensive.
Yep. And if you don't know where your local Par Lumber is, go to par.com and check out locations. We've got them in every corner of the Pacific Northwest.
That's right. From northern Washington to southern Oregon to
Pasco
to eastern Oregon, and they're out there. Okay, we're done for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.